morning is going the way of all the earth.
I can't get this thing to wake up. It's froze. There we go.
Going the way of all the earth. So as we think about this, going the way of all the earth, there's a way that we all will go. We're going to talk about that. Those familiar with Scripture know what we're talking about before we get into this lesson. But we think about what Joshua said and what David said over in 1 Kings chapter 2. Joshua said this. He said, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you and are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring you upon you evil things until he have destroyed you from off the face of the good land which the Lord hath given you." So here we see where Joshua makes a plea on his deathbed for those to be faithful, telling them, the children of Israel, that the Lord's promises don't fail. You'll be blessed when you obey him. You'll be cursed when you don't. We talked about blessings and curses a few weeks ago. Then David said, "Now the days of David drew nigh, says that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, whatsoever thou turnest thyself." So both Joshua and David, they urged those that would live after them to be faithful, didn't he? So he talked about, used this phrase, that he was going the way of all the earth. Now for our invitation time, we're going to sing the song, "I'll Fly Away." And the psalmist said, in Psalm chapter 55, verse 6, he said, "And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." And then he said in Psalm chapter 90, verse 10, "The days of our years are 80 years. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet their strength, labor, and sorrow, for to soon cut off, and we fly away." Paul told those in Thessalonica when he addressed those who had doubts about the resurrection. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these things." So these expressions are used, and they refer to physical death, don't they? They refer to the time that we're all going to die. Now, this subject might be uncomfortable for some, but for Christians, it's not. See, Christians look forward to that day of death. They look forward to their eternal rest. I'm talking about those who are faithful. You know, Solomon spoke of the event happening. That is, the event of death. It will happen to beast and to man. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning at verse 18, Solomon said, "I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest him, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, and the one thing dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they all have one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast for all his vanity." As far as death is concerned, we have no preeminence over a beast. As far as our souls are concerned, we do. See, there's that difference. We're all going to die. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2, he said there, He said, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his ear. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 2, Solomon said, all things come alike. To all there is one event, to the righteous, to the wicked, to the good, to the clean, to the unclean, to him that sacrifices, to him that sweareth as he feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil and madness, and in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. So we're all going to die. Now there's some companies that are promoting what they call cryonics is how you say it, cryonic. Or they say that when a person is declared legally dead, they rush this person to one of these facilities, cryonic facilities. They remove the blood, replace it with a type of antifreeze, and slowly freeze the body and store them in liquid nitrogen. And they say they can bring that person back. They may be able to restore or keep the tissue alive, but they can't bring the soul back. So when they remove the blood, when they take the blood out of the individual, because they say you can't freeze an individual with the blood in their veins, because the water in the blood will freeze and cause problems. I'm wondering what they've ever read Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11. We said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is in the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, where Moses wrote, he says, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. The flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall unite you. And surely your blood of your life will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God created he man. So when we hear about these tall tales, those that read the Bible know that they're saying that man envisions, the imagination of man, are an utter failure. So as we think about this lesson, we're going to look at six things we need to keep in memory about the fact that we'll all go this way. First of all, it's certain we will go. Now, death is certain. The Hebrew writer said, it's appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment. There's no one that will escape death except those that will be present when the Lord comes. I'll put it that way. But most of us will see death unless the Lord comes prior to you dying. See, the generations of Adam all died, didn't they? In Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. Read with me. It says, in all the days of Adam lived 930 years and he died. Verse 8, it says, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And then in verse 11, the text says there, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. Then in verse 14, and all the days of Cana were 910 years, and he died. Then in verse 17, all the days of Mahaliel were 895 years, and he died. Then in verse 20, and all the days of Jared were 960 and 2 years, and he died. Then in verse 31, the text says there, and all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. They all died. Now Job said, all will die. Job said in Job chapter 30, verse 23, he says, for I know that thou wilt bring me to death, to the house appointed for all living. The psalmist said, all living men will see death. In Psalm chapter 89, verse 48, he said, what man is it? Is he that liveth and shall not see death? Who is it? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Solomon said, all living know that they will die. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5 says, for the living know that they shall die. But the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Paul said, all will die. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Next, we see that we will die, won't we? We're all going to die. Our time on life, on this earth, will be short. Our life is short. And as we think about this, the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, that man is born of a few days and full of trouble. So as we think about this section of Scripture, you see where he said he cometh forth like a flower, he was cut down, he fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. So we must remember God in our youth. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light, or moon, or the stars be darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. So he goes on to talk about the process of aging, and how what we once did and never thought about it is a great burden anymore as we age. See, the brevity of life is expressed in the Scriptures in a number of ways. For example, it's expressed as the life of grass and a flower. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, verse 15 through 16, it says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourisheth, so the wind passeth over it, and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Some of you ladies on Mother's Day got flowers, didn't you? How long do these flowers last? Not very long, do they? Our life is wiped out. You set those flowers out in the hot sun, they wilt in no time. So, life is like that. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, he said, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower thereof falls away. So we know how precious and how for a short period of time life is, and how short period of time those flowers will look beautiful, but eventually they'll wither and die. Next we see that life is like a shadow. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15. He said, for we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. So shadows move and shift and go away, don't they? It's as a wind or a breath, a swift runner or a post. Or Job chapter 7, verse 7, he says, oh, remember that my life is a wind or a breath, like a wind. You ever had the breath knocked out of you? He says, mine eyes shall see no more good. Then in Psalm chapter 78, verse 39, he said, for he remembers that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. In Job chapter 9, verse 25, Job said there, he says, now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. Life is short. They're like swift ships. Have you ever seen a ship go by that's swift? Or the ship I was on could do 40 knots, wide open. And it was out of sight pretty fast. Job said, now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They're no good. Verse 26 says, they are passed away as swift shifts. And as an eagle that hastens through the prey, you ever seen an eagle swoop down? Pretty fast, huh? Before you know, he's down, got his prey and gone. It says a tale told, a sigh. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 90, verse 9, he said, our days are passed away in the wrath, we spend our days as a tale told, or as a sigh. Then he said that life is like a weaver's shuttle. Think how fast a weaver's shuttle can make cloth and yarn. Pretty fast, isn't it? Life is like that. Job said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Referring to the brevity of life. James said, life is like a vapor. Appears for a little while and then vanishes away. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We know that when we're heating water or boiling water in the stove, we see that vapor come up. It dissipates quickly, doesn't it? Life is like that. See, we need to number our days and apply our heart to wisdom, the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 90, verses 11 through 12. He says, who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart to wisdom. Use our days that we have for wisdom. Cherish those days. Use those in God's service. Because life is short, isn't it? Next, we see that when we go, what will happen? You know, when we die, what's the process? We know that man is a dual being, made up of body, soul, and spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, the text is there, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God, your whole soul or spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul speaks of the individual, or an individual as soul, spirit, and body, the whole essence of man. When we go, what happens? The physical body was formed by the dust of the earth, wasn't by God. And the text says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 27, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. What did man become? A living soul. So when we die, the spirit within man, or the soul of man, departs, doesn't it? And that which is formed by God departs. Zechariah said in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, he says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which strengtheneth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. He's creator of all things. Not just the saint that we see, but us as individuals. He breathes into the nostrils, and man became a living soul when Adam was created. See, the spirit departs the body when it dies, doesn't it? So those who rely on cryonics, they can put back what's in God's hands. Just think about that. And a lot of people will spend a lot of money to go through that process. They'll never see the benefit from it. James said in James chapter 2, verse 26, where the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So he likens our body and our spirit to a faith that works and a faith that doesn't work. So the body, when the body dies, the spirit departs from the body, doesn't it? The soul returns to God. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, he says, or rather the silver cord be loose, or the golden bolt will be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. And no matter if we're buried in a grave or we're cremated, what's left over? Dust, isn't it? It's dust. See, the soul of Rachel When she died, her spirit departed her body. So says Genesis chapter 35, verse 18. It says there, and it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, she was in the process of death, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Then the Bible records those who gave up the ghost, or those who died, in Genesis chapter 25, verse 8. We see where Abram gave up the ghost and died. Isaac gave up the ghost and died. Jacob gave up the ghost or yielded up the ghost and died. And Jesus, he cried with a loud voice and he said, "Father, into my hands I commend my spirit." And having said that, he gave up the ghost or died. So when we die, the spirit departs the body, doesn't it? A man can't restore that. All the ingenuity of man can't turn that backwards. But another thing to remember is that when we go, there's no return. We can't come back to this earth. This is a Ghostbuster slide right here. You have those who claim that they're ghosts, that places are haunted. But death brings an end to all the doings of man on earth. In 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14, Samuel said, "For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither does God respect any person, yet does he devise means that he banish, or he that is banished be expelled from him." Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, he said, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." In other words, they can't go back and do what they did on earth again. Also, their love, their hatred, their envy is now perished, neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done in the sun. So they have no connection. They can't influence. Or there's nothing they can do to continue what they were doing. Only their influence or their good name that speaks for them. He said, "Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, drink thy wine with merry heart. For God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head like no ointment. Live joyfully with thy wife, of whom thou lovest, all the days of thy life of the vanity. For she hath given thee under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou doest." Your work ends. Your connection with this earth ends, doesn't it? See, there's no return to this earth. Job said in Job chapter 14, verse 11, it says, "As the waters fall from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more, for they shall not wake, nor be raised out of their sleep." So man goes to his long home. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 5, he said, "And when they that shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish," or one becomes, talks about the aging process, "and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go to the streets." See, David acknowledged this fact. And the child died, didn't he? He acknowledged this. David mourned while the child was sick. When the child died, he cleaned himself up and ate. And his servants, they thought that was a terrible thing that he did. But Solomon said, "But now he is dead. Wherefore shall I fast? Can I bring him back again?" Well, the answer was no. He said, "I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." And we know, as we read the story of the rich man and Lazarus, there's that great gulf between us, isn't there? In Luke chapter 16, verse 26, Luke records, "And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither could you pass to us that would come from thence." So the rich man wanted someone to be sent to his brethren to warn them about this terrible place he was in. And Abraham said, "They had Moses and the prophets, let him hear them." What was he telling them? He's telling them they would go to never return, right? Would go to never return. But there's a way that we'll go. What way will we take? Well, there are two ways. We can consider the two ways. There's a way of sin, isn't there? In John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus said, "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for believe not that I am he. You shall die in your sins." And there's the way of the cross, by believing Jesus and being obedient to his will. John said in Revelation chapter 14, verse 3, he said, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." So we have two choices. You go the broad way or the narrow way. You go the way of death, spiritually speaking, or the way of the cross, where we'll be raised to walk with Jesus. See, those who die in sin will not be with Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 21, Jesus said unto them, he said, "I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come." Why? Because they rejected him and his teaching. But Paul said that there are those who die in Christ will be with him. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him." So we have hope in Christ, don't we? Those that are faithful in Christ have hope and assurance. Those that have never obeyed the gospel, those that are living in sin, brethren who are walking ways and in relationships and doing things that are contrary to God's word, I hope this scares you. It ought to. If it doesn't, there's something wrong with you. Because there's only one true way, and that's by being obedient to Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 64, he said, "But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore I said unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by my Father. From that time many of the disciples went back, and they walked no more with him. Then Jesus said to the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? There's no other way to go, is there? To whom shall we go? There's no other way to go. Peter realized that, didn't he? He says, Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe, and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus rejected that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we must abide in Jesus. We must abide in his word. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. You see where John told Christians that were being persecuted. He said, Fear not of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. I'll give thee a crown of life. Then there are those who are not abiding in the teaching of God. They're not abiding. They're abiding in sin and error. But in order to abide in Him, as we live on this earth, we must abide in His doctrine. Live it, practice it, apply it. John said, Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. Who is that? Who is it? Whosoever. Doesn't matter who. Whoever's not doing it. He wasn't just speaking to brethren, was he? He was including that, but he said whosoever. Transgressor. And abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Is there any, or come in unto you, and bring not this doctrine, and receive it not in your house, neither biddeth God's feet, for he that biddeth from God's feet is protector of his evil deeds. So abiding in Christ, and his teaching, in his word, being obedient to him, and crucifying our will, and living by the will of the Lord, is the only way you can make it to heaven. That's the way to go. See, the Lord sees the death of his saints as the precious thing in his sight. The psalmist said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But do we know when we will go? Do you know that? I think we'd be pretty miserable if we knew what day we're going to die. Don't you think so? You'd be rushed to get stuff done. It'd be a miserable thing. So which way will we go? We go. And do we know when we'll go? I'm thankful we don't. See, death is certain, isn't it? We talked about that. Hebrews 9, verse 26. But it's untimely. We can't time it. Solomon said, for man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. So death comes suddenly, doesn't it? Even all the people who were alive 1 minute and had a massive heart attack and died, and they were dead in a matter of minutes. I remember when I preached at Loina's grandmother's funeral that her brother was there. He wasn't looking too good. He looked kind of pinked. And we had the funeral, and he sat over there in the shade. It was a graveside service, and at the funeral, everybody went home, and about an hour later, somebody came by one's grandmother's house and said that her brother had died, had a massive heart attack. It was just an hour after that funeral. Nobody expected that. So we should not boast as if we will live to see tomorrow. We should always ask to do what we're going to do, or plan to do, if it's the Lord's will. Psalm said in Proverbs 27, verse 9, boast not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. See, the rich man, he boasted, didn't he? He tore down his barns and built greater. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 19, he says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods, lay up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He had planned to live a long life. That was his plan. He had all this storehouse of stuff that he had gathered up because God provided it. He didn't acknowledge that. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Call him a fool, didn't he? See, he boasted and planned to live many years. But he died that night, because the Lord said he would. See, our last days and hours cannot be determined. James said in James chapter 4, verse 14, he says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even the vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice and you're boasting, all rejoice, such evil is good, or such rejoicing is evil. So we should pray that if the Lord's will be, we might go forth with the plans that we have. We all have plans. You have plans about something you're going to do tomorrow. I can guarantee everybody has, you know what you're planning to do tomorrow, right? Are you planning to die tomorrow? You ever thought about that? As we think about this, you know, the day of death is uncertain, isn't it? So in review, you know, it's certain we will go. You and I will both die. We'll live a short time and go. It's a short life, isn't it? Now what happens when we go? The spirit departs the body, doesn't it? There's no return. The way we go, we'll never return from that. You ever been someplace? It's always return, right? When we go to this place, wherever it is, heaven or hell, will not return. The way we go, which way will it be? Will it be the way of sin or the way of the cross? And we don't know when our day of death will be. So are you prepared? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8, he said, death is swallowed up in victory. He said, he shall swallow up death in victory, and the Lord will wipe away the tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. Now, Paul urges brethren, the Corinthian brethren, use the language of Hosea 13, verse 14. Paul said, oh, death, where is thy victory? Hosea said something similar to that. But the prophet Hosea foretold of the resurrection of the dead. And what happens, and what occurs, and one would exclaim, where is thy sting? See, death is a sting. It's stinging, isn't it, in this physical life? When one dies, when you lose a loved one, it stings, hurts. But sin stings too, doesn't it? And who has the power over both of those? Also, the thanks be to God, who gives us victory to our Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ will raise us all again. All will be raised. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And shall come forth they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So, when you're raised, what will it be? It will be according to the way that you went as you walked in this life. See, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, death and hell were cast to the lake of fire. So if this was taken away, the sting was taken away through Christ, then assurance can be had only through Christ and being obedient to his will. Because Christ has power over death. He has power over sin. But only those who are steadfast, who are Christians, who are abounding in the work of the Lord, will benefit from the sacrifice Christ made for all men. That's a lesson. If there's anyone here tonight who desires to respond, or one who desires to respond to the Lord's invitation, remember what Amos said. He said, therefore, this will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. So we're going to all fly away. But are we prepared to meet God? Israel, they had disregarded God's pleadings. Amos had pleaded with them to be obedient to his word, but they rejected his pleas. Amos reminded Israel that he had brought famine and pestilence upon them, but they did not repent. And he said, prepare to meet that God, because they're going to meet him. It was going to be doomed for them. You know why? Because the Lord opposed his name, said so. There was no escape from God's judgment. Same thing applies to us today, doesn't it? See, alien sinners must hear the gospel, believe it, repent of their sins, confess Christ, be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Heir and children of God must repent and pray when they sin. We're not perfect. We do sin at times. And so John said that we are to go to our Heavenly Father and we should walk in His ways and His light. And He said if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But He said if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we read already, Christians must live faithful unto death in order to receive the crown of life. Blessed is yours if you in a way subject to Lord's invitation. We urge you to respond as you need to. As together we stand and sing the song that's been selected, the song I'll Fly Away. Shall we stand while we sing?